people walk around. Rebbe, he's my Rebbe. This was my Rebbe. That one's my Rebbe. Rebbe, Rebbe, Rebbe. Everybody's busy Rebbe, yeah, yeah. Right?
I'm a Talmud.
This one, I'm a Talmud. Talmud Muvik. Of people who didn't even live in your generation. Talmud Muvik. It's funny. The Chazanish, by the way, said this. Right. You know the Chazanish said this. They once asked the Chazanish who was the Rabbeim are. The Beis Yosef, the Tur, the Bach. He said it. He never learned yeshiva. Chazanish never learned by anybody. He says we didn't have any Svarim. He said, so I used to learn Tur, Beis Yosef. I said, those are my Rabbeim. Imagine someone asks, where do you learn by? You don't say Rabbi Wolf because you're embarrassed to say that. So you'll say, I learned by the Beis Yosef and the Tur and the huh? Okay. So the question is, what is a Rebbe? What is a Rebbe? Okay. So the halacha is, and I want you to look it up quickly. Go ahead. Real quickly, Nissan. This is not Gimel. This is Gimel.
Where is it?
Hilchos Talmud Torah.
I can look it up on my phone.
Oh, because could be they broke it up. So tell me, in halacha, what's called a Rebbe? You know what halacha is called a Rebbe? You know?
Someone who teaches you something.
Anything, right?
Anything.
Like Chayre, right? We have to see that in halacha. I want you to read it. Which siman is it? So the truth is everyone's Rebbe, right? Maybe you're my Rebbe. You taught
anybody,
me something.
Anybody can be a Rebbe. The one who taught you the most Torah.
That's a Rebbe Muvah. Okay. What's called a Rebbe? Okay, so this is your homework. You're going to have to look this up. What's called a Rebbe? All right. Now, it says in the Pasuk, Vishnantel of Anecha, teach your children. Now we're going to discuss what Rebbe really is. Yeah? What a Rebbe is really a Rebbe. Really. Vishnantel of Anecha. Rashi says, Livonecha, he quotes a Sifri, Livonecha Elu HaTalmidim. So why are the Talmidim referred to as Banim? That's the question. Just say, if it means your Talmidim, she should say, Shantala Talmidecha. Many an answer has been said to this question. Okay. I would say that it's true that what everybody says, you have to love your Talmidim, right? And devoted to your Talmidim, we get that, right? I mean, obviously, it means you're supposed to love them, that's the simple. But it's a little bit deeper than that. The Rambam in Hilchos Reitzeach, I want to read this with you inside, please, if you don't mind. Could you take out the Rambam? Take it out from the Shapsi Frankel, it's easy. Take out Shapsi Frankel Rambam, fist.
He needs to know which book.
Where is it? Mada?
Ritzeach, Shmira, Nezikin, Nezikin.
Is that the word he said? Shmatzi Ritzeach?
Rambam, Hilchos Ritzeach Ushmiras Nefesh. That's the name of the chapters of the Rambam's halachas. Ritzeach Ushmiras Nefesh. Rabbi Choyal, give me your Shulchan Aruch Talmud Torah, if you don't mind. Shulchan Aruch, if you don't mind. Go ahead. Take it. I'm on vacation. That's it. I'm done already. Tired. I'm an old man. What do you want? Make you guys work me to the bone here.
You want me zmanim?
Yeah.
What's Shabbat? Nezikin, he said.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta stop this.
You know this Friday guy who looks at, he thinks it's safe for Mazikin. Mazikin. Rambam Mazikin.
Why? Like
chapter 7, Allah 31.
Demons?
Nizikin is damages. Mazikin is.
Oh,
Aspandu monsters.
Now we clap.
Aspandu monsters are coming to you.
Perk Shvi, what?
Allah Lam Ralph.
Lam and Aleph?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Michal. What does the Rebbe call? Halach. Go ahead. Can't go wrong.
There's no lamed aleph, Rebbe.
Ritzeach.
Yiraf, maybe.
No, Ritzeach. Perik Zayin.
Halacha.
Lamed aleph. There's no lamed aleph.
There's no lamed aleph.
That's Rebbe wants me to read the word Rabbo.
Oh no, he said Zayin. Sorry.
What's called the Rebbe? Covered Rab something new.
Maybe it's not Perik Zayin. Maybe it's Rabbo.
No, who says it teaches you how to paskin or something?
So say it, go ahead, read it. I don't know. Talk to me, no?
No.
Marco. All right. Chayav Adam Bichvod Rabo Vyirato Yoter Mimishel Aviv. Right? Kol HaCholek Al Rabo Kecholek Al Shechina. Eze Hu Cholek Al Rabo. Os Yolo Adam Lahorot Lefin Rabo Loilam. I feel until as Yishus, my man, etc.
Here, go ahead, huh?
Aleph?
Well, first, let me finish. I just want to know what's called a Rebbe. Halacha l'maisa. Here, pass me. Talk to me, you know? What's a Rebbe? So Rebbe's the guy you play basketball with, maybe. I don't know, could be. Rebbe's the guy that invites you for chant on Shabbat. Talk to me, what's a Rebbe? No? No answer. Okay, next.
It's towards the middle.
What?
It's someone who teaches you how to
play. I can't hear, what? I can't hear Rebbe, I didn't hear.
No, what you're saying, very good.
My Rebbe, what's a Rebbe? Talk to me. I don't know. And the answer is, it's not a Shulchan Aruch, according to them.
Rabbi, like, move.
I can't see it.
What's the shot?
You know, they say, how come Hilchas Tshuva is not in Shulchan Aruch? How come they don't have Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Tshuva?
Yeah.
The Rambam has it.
Yeah.
So they say, because not Halacha L'mais, nobody does it. Shulchan Aruch only brings Halacha L'mais. Who does Tshuva?
It's
<Four. laughs> not Halacha L'mais.
That's Rambam.
Yeah, not the gay Lamaisa. Who does it? Who does Tshuva? Tshuva.
It's you know, the middle, towards the end.
So the real story is, I'm a daik from this, that the real Hilchas Tshuva is just Yasav Yechta. He's just a Tshuva. Come, bring a chair for Rabbi Hech. Bring a chair. Bring a head.
Your grandfather was once an eight, called up to be an
eight. Yeah, that's the story. Glu Tshuva. I know the story.
And somebody walked up to him. You're going to be an eight now, you have to do Tshuva. It's in Kerev. Frankenton.
That's it. That's the story.
I found the Rebbe.
What? You saw it. You saw it your own eye.
No, I didn't see
you heard it. Who did you hear from? My father. My father said over. My grandfather.
I heard it.
It's one of these stories.
No, the guy, it wasn't from your father. I heard it from somebody else. I don't remember.
But it was about my Zaidi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some nudnik went over to my grandma. You know, they nudge you. If you're an eight, you have to tshuva. So he walked over to my grandfather. If you're an eight, you have to tshuva. He says, okay, done. Yeah, go ahead, read. Go ahead, read.
Kol elu hadvarim she'amarnu she'tzarich lechaved bahem et rabo, lo amru elu berabo muvhak, dehainu, she'rov chochmato mimenu. Im mikra mikra, im mishna mishna, im gemara gemara, ramo, uviyamim elu ikar harabonus eino talui b'mi she'lamdo ha'pilpul v'chilukim, she'lo yegin bahem izman hazeh, rak b'mi she'lamdo pshat ha'halocha v'ha'iyun, v'ha'emidu al ha'emes v'ha'yoshe.
That's it.
And then the Maran continues. Im lo lamad rov chokhmato mimenu, eno chayav lechavdo bechol ilu advarim, aval omed milifanav, mishiyagi al arba amotav.
Okay, the bottom line is, there's a strict definition for a Rebbe, but the question is, but what is a Rebbe?
Are you able to translate in English, Rabbi?
My brother would say it like that, my brother Avram. But what is a Rebbe? What is he? Okay, you ready?
Rebbe, can you translate what he said in English?
Almost. It's very simple. Today, Rebbe doesn't mean that he's Rabbi Muvik and he taught him everything.
But what
I'm telling you. That's what it says. Rebbe Muvik is what he teaches him, simple to read, and then he knows how to read Gemara afterwards. He put him on his way to learning Torah. Okay, next. Rambam Rotzeach. So let's discuss the Rambam and Hilchos Rotzeach. Go ahead, no? Let's say a guy is killed by mistake. He has to go to Ari Miklat. Send the Rebbe with him. Gotta send his Rebbe with him. Go ahead, yeah? Oh, because when you go to Ari Miklat, it's supposed to be not a death sentence, it's supposed to be a life sentence. We're supposed to recoup. You're supposed to bring the guy back to life. He has to rejuvenate him. It says in the Pasuk, V'chei, the brother should live. How can he live without his Rebbe?
Wow.
So we send the Rebbe. It's Gemara. It's open Gemara, and the Rambam brings it. But then the Rambam continues. Without Torah.
Kemita Chashuv.
The most famous Rambam, by the way. All the Bali Musra are busy with this Rambam. That the Rambam erred at this point. Without learning, you're dead. So you can't go to Ari Mikla to serve, to rejuvenate and protect your life by killing you, right? And what's the point? Learn without your Rebbe. And the answer is, learning without a Rebbe is also dead. That's the point, that you can't learn without your Rebbe, okay? But let's go to the next thing the Rambam says.
Chen
harav shegala. It's the reverse also true. When the Rebbe goes to Galus, we send the whole yeshiva with him to Galus. The question is, what is that about? The Talmud needs the Rebbe because he can't learn. And he can't, and we want him to live in Galut.
The guy who gets killed by accident, does he go with his family?
No.
He doesn't?
No. No. They go with the yeshiva. The question is, what's the pshat?
I was going to say, Banechel.
Huh? Slowly. So what's the pshat?
The Rebbe without his
Talmud? Either you can come and say, that just like the Rebbe, the Talmud needs to learn from the Rebbe learns from his Talmidim. Many say that what Yosem Mikulam. Some say that in the Rambam, but it's not, it doesn't fit properly in the Rambam. It doesn't, because Rambam says there's a reason by the first. But he should have said it by both. He should have said the reason is because without Torah and the Rebbe also. So I believe that this Rambam is saying a chiddush, that this is simple v'chei. A Rebbe can't live without his Talmidim. It's his life.
You invest so much in them?
It's his life. It's his Talmidim are his life. The reason why, and you don't see, you take the whole yeshiva, you uproot it, you bring it to Galus, to the Ari Mikla. You hear? David, you listening? Why? Oh. So the story is, yeah, I told this to Rebelsky. And the reason why I said, that's the pshat, v'shinan to levanecha. Levanecha means, it's not only about loving. A child is his parents' whole life. That's all they think about, that's all they live for. That's the pshat, levanecha. It's not about levanecha, that you should teach the Talmidim, you hear, as you love them like a son. It's not enough. It should be like your son to the point, you hear? To the point that's all you think about. That's all you care about. That's all you think about. Your whole life. And that's v'chei. Since the gadol has to live, the reshiva has to live. Okay. So I told this to Rebelsky. And I was alluding that it's him. I was trying to bring out that was you. And I was telling it to him. So he looked at me and he smiled. I'm forgetting. He smiled and he goes, you understand good. Yes, you understand. Now the rest, I'm not going to say in public what he really said, because he said something else, but that's not for you. That's for me, okay? The point being, you guys, I can tell it to you. He said to me, he says, I see you'll make a good Rebbe one day. You get it, he tells me. That's what he says. I said, that do fashteis. You get it. A Talmud has to be the main focus of his Rebbe's, you know. Okay. With this, I want to say an interesting thing. Where am I holding you? Why am I writing this again? It could be. Okay. My great-grandfather was a Talmud of the Nitziv. And he might have been the Talmud of the Nitziv. It's a question if he was the guy. He was it. Like Reb Baruch Ber was the Talmud of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, the Talmud. They say that the Beis Aharon was that. Now, just to give you a nuance of history, the Nitziv and Reb Chaim were at war. Now, it wasn't a dirty war like we have today, that people are fighting over kavod. It was an argument in the yeshiva how to learn. The Nitziv learned very simple. Reb Chaim was, everything was deep in depth and mind-racking. The yeshiva followed Reb Chaim. They didn't follow the Nitziv. The yeshiva liked, and Reb Chaim was the grandson. The Nitziv was the grandfather.
Grandson and grandfather argue?
This is Reb Chaim of what? Brisk?
Reb Chaim of Brisk, yeah. Okay. The Bircha Shmuel, Reb Ber, went with Reb Chaim. My grandfather went with the Nitziv. The books of my great-grandfather are very much like the Nitziv style of books. To see a chassada. It's all the same style of learning. Okay? So when Rabbi Chashmul saw my grandfather's books, he said, yeah, because he was Mishamesh the Nitziv, his Rebbe. It's the Rebbe was the Nitziv, and he was Zoche to write these type of books because he was so attached to the Nitziv. Now, one day I'll talk to you more. I don't want to get too detailed into the story. There's more to the story that Reb Ber said, but the bottom line is the person that was the son of the Beis Aharon went back and told the Beis Aharon that Reb Ber said that he says it's true. He says, I literally didn't leave his hand and I didn't leave his hand. And for the first year after he passed away, my eyes were still dripping from tears. That's how much I had love and kesha with my Rebbe. So I'm trying to bring out this point. A Rebbe is not just, an external. It becomes a kesher. You know, there's a Maral that writes that there's no bigger kesher in this world than Rebbe Talmud. It's more than Av and Ben. It's more than father and son.
Which way he gives the Rebbe to the Talmud or the Talmud to the Rebbe?
Both.
Interchangeable.
Both. We can talk about this.
He gives you spiritual life. And
it's, I'll tell you. You want to know? I tracked down someone who writes it with strength. Shlomo Alkabetz, the one who wrote the Chadodi, the one who
has a book.
See, he has the Alter from Kelim quotes him in Kisvei Asaba Mikelim. He says like this. It's in Ayala Sahuvim. The name of Rav Alkabetz's book is Ayala Sahuvim. Shlomo Alkabetz, the one who wrote the Chadodi. Pay attention to why Talmidim are called Banim. Ki heim Banim Mamish. It's literally their children. And he says, why? The Malamid, and they become, you don't have it, it's the last page. Right? That's it. The nefesh and the Torah is actually the same thing. Torah and nefesh. So when I teach Torah, you're giving a part of my nefesh into him. So you're really, it's your son. It's literally your son. I saw something interesting. There's a medrash that says, lo yeh b'cha'aka v'akara. You're not going to have a baron, someone who doesn't have children. Your house won't be empty from students. Akar, a sterile. If you don't have talmidim, it's in the pasuk. It's referred to as sterile. And then taychacha, it says lo yeh b'cha akar. What's this? Lo yeh b'cha akar min talmidim. Rabbi Shuman Levi. It's unbelievable chiddush. I also noticed that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says that it's not just a hashkafa that the Talmud is your son. It's a halacha, it's a chiyuv. Elo Talmidim is not just that it happens. Elo Talmidim, you're a chiyuv to treat him like your own son, which means you have to care for him like it's your own son. I saw Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Kovet Shurim says, it's not just Elo Talmidim that it's a nice thing. Elo Talmidim, this becomes, you see, Rabbi Chanan, Eina Eitza, El Chiyuv. See it on the bottom? Okay. I think that we can answer a good question with this, and that is, let's say that the Talmud killed, so we send the Rebbe. Why is the Rebbe responsible now that he has to go live in who knows where? It's my fault that this guy went, well, what do you want for my life? I live in New York City. What do you want me now to go to Nevada because you have to go to Gullis? What do you want for my life? Oh, so some say this. Some say the fact that he is somewhat reflects on the Rebbe, right?
It was by accident, though.
That's the question. And the answer is even accident. It's something, yeah. Right? Obviously, Megagel is Chusay Dezah, Hashem, you. That's over here. You see it over there? Okay. But according to the way we're learning, it's Mayridik. Why? Maybe it's the responsibility of a Rebbe. Yeah, that's just like a father has to take care of his kid. It's your responsibility to uproot yourself, move, to have your student have life. I like it. I don't like it. I don't know if I could say it tonight because I think it's a little too much for the crowd, right? It's a little too much because they want the stories. Okay, getting back to... Huh? Yeah, I have good stories for you guys. Soon we have stories and stories. Don't worry, everything's stories. I'll bring out my puppets, my Muppets, and I'll tell you the stories.
My puppets.
What's wrong? Ernie and Bert, I'll tell you the story of Rebelski. Ernie, do you know anything about Rabalski? Yes, Bert, sure I do. Yeah, okay, you ready?
These are the people you're teaching tonight.
Okay. All right, so Bekitzer, you hear? Okay. So, I mean, I will say tonight how, of course, I miss my Rebbe, which is true. I do cry a lot whenever I think things remind me of him, comes to my mind. But I want to tell you something interesting. Rebelski had a lot of miles. He was a genius, there's no question. And he knew everything. He literally knew everything. And he had a tremendous koyach p'sak halacha. Tremendous. His questions and answers, he never prepared. The questions were not given to him in advance. He would get up there for hours just giving... to bring all the genius and all the halacha and all the gemaras, it was something amazing to watch. Let me tell you, I sat there and I was like amazed. You know, it was an amazing thing. There's an interesting lashon a very interesting lashon. Reb Shimon and Reb Shmuel Kain Gadol in the Asar Rugim Malchus. Right? So Reb Shmuel Kain Gadol did not want to see Reb Shimon die. Or the other way around, Reb Shimon didn't want to see Reb Shmuel Kain Gadol die. So they made Gairalis, right? They made it, and Reb Shimon was the first one to go. Reb Shmuel Kain Gadol saw the head laying on the floor. They chopped his head off. So he picked up the head of Reb Shimon, and he used the lashon, Ayei HaLashon HaMemaheres LoHayres BeImrei Shefer. Ayei means, look what happened. Whoa, look what happened to the tongue that was quick to paskin, LoHayres, to paskin in Torah, Imrei Shefer, words. So every time on Yom Kippur when I think about, when I read this, this is what goes through my mind. The be able to, on the spot, the quick, to be able to paskin, never needing to look up anything. It's something amazing. Okay. But what I do want to bring out is that I believe strongly that none of us really have much to do with that. Meaning it's huh?
Tolos Chan?
No, we're not that genius. It takes a genius that it's... So the question is, how can we relate to the life of somebody like that? So I want to say something here, that the Midas, it's something that we can learn from, and I want to bring out a point. Reb Chaim Ivalajin brings from the Gaon that a man was only created for one purpose. You know what it is? You know Reb Chaim Ivalajin? It's a very famous Reb Chaim Ivalajin. L'hayil achrini, to help others. Man was created simply l'hayil achrini, just to help others. Reb Matzio Solomon, the Mashgiach HaLakewood, asked by on a Hesper of Shach, he pointed out, who are we talking about? Reb Chaim Ivalajin, the Gaon, they never left their Gemara. How could it be? How could they write? I mean, Bishlam Agai is Isaac B'Tzarchi Tzibur. So he could write, you hear? He could write that the main thing in life is to help others. But if you're sitting...
He believed that that's what did it.
So I asked this to many. The truth is, I asked this question. So many want to say, because the truth is, the greatest chesed you could do to this world is to sit and learn Torah, right? Okay. So I have a shtickle in the car for that. The Gemara and Sukkah, you know, every Friday night, what do we say? V'sayras chesed al l'shayna. So the Gemara in Sukkah Chavtes asks, what do you mean? There's Torah that has chesed, there's Torah without chesed. Torah, says the Gemara, that you learn for yourself is Torah. Torah you learn to give to others is Torah's chesed. The Gra asks a question. What do you mean? You have to teach Torah, no? So the Gra in Mishlei says, teaching Torah is just chesed. It comes from chesed, that's all it is. So the Mefarshim, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you know, they all asked, but I'm saying, the Rambam says clearly, it's mitzvah l'ilmei lamed. The chiyuv, the mitzvah Talmud Torah is to teach, so how can you come and say it's chesed, it's not chesed, you have to do it. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says a chiddush, that according to the Gra, there's no mitzvah to teach Torah.
Wow.
The mitzvah is to learn, and the chesed is to give Torah. He says that the Rambam, it says, Torah, v'shinam to levanecha, it's an asmach de malma. It's not chiyuv.
Oh,
it's a good thing. It's chesed, it's a nice thing.
Not chiyuv.
It's a merdeka chiddush. So, Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, muchach that the Gaon learned, that there's no chiyuv l'lamid. It's a merdeka. I wanted to say a merdeka word. You ready? Why is this? Because they say chesed, it's not chesed, it's chiyuv. You're right, it's a chiyuv. But to be able to do it comes from a big chesed. It comes from a heart that wants to do chesed. Huh? Yeah. It comes from chesed. Meaning, I've heard it's chiyuv, but how does one do it?
And it comes from the depth of chesed inside of
him. Yeah. It comes from he was a tremendous Baal Chesed. He was a tremendous mate. You know, he learned, Rebelsky learned me, I was 18 years old. That's how I came to Rebelsky. I was in Camp Aguda. And I was giving a shir Yeah, I was giving a shir. I was 18. Yeah, I was giving a shir in Camp Aguda. Yeah. Now I was fascinated by Rogalski, and therefore I wanted to get a relationship with him. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to backtrack a second. I see if you notice in your paper, I brought you a Machsheves Musar. See, in the back paper that I gave you, you see Machsheves Musar. Okay. This Machsheves Musar is a very interesting piece of Torah from Rav Shach. Very interesting. Rashi says, "Vishnanta levanecha shatamidim kruyim banim." They're called children. Rashi continues and he says, "Vegam ha'av." It's on the last paper. You have it on the last page, the Hebrew page. Machsheves Musar, Rav Shach. Okay, this should be in the over here. I'll end up writing it for you. Don't worry about it. He says, Rashi says, "Shanta levanecha elah hatamidim is banim." And also, the Rebbe is called an Av. Like it says, Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael of Russia. When Elisha saw Elio go up to Shemayim, he said, Avi Avi. So the Mefarshim asked this question. I don't understand. If the Talmidim are Ben, then obviously the father's an Av. So what do you have to speak? Why does it have to be a special... So Shteyman is busy. It's just because he's the Ben doesn't mean he's the Av, you know, meaning it could be it's two dinim. I don't know. Shteyman's busy trying to figure out what the two dinim is. Rav Shach says a Meridik Chiddush. He says, in order to learn Torah, you need to feel that it's your Ben. He's your son. In order to connect to him. And the reverse is also true. It has to come from the Talmud that he feels the Rebbe's his father. It can't be a one-way relationship. He said the relationship has to be such that, you know, a lot of times the father will scream, "You're my son." Yeah, but the son says, "I don't have nothing to do with you."
Oh my gosh.
The point is, it has to come, you hear? From both sides of Rosh Hashanah. That's the kesher. And that's how you're able to give it. To Mary the Gavart. I think I once told this to you. I think I heard from Rabelsky also. Remind me to put this in. Rabelsky once said, yeah, that Reb Shraga Feivelman de Lubitsch, I told you with the eyes, right? I told you the word with the eyes. A guy once came to him and said to him that he can't work on his student. He tried, it's a lost case. So Reb Shraga Feivelman de Lubitsch was tremendous mechanic. So he said, yeah, tell me, what color eyes does he have? What color eyes does the student have? We told him. He said, "No, tell me." He says, "I don't know." He says, "If you never looked at his eyes to connect with him, you don't color, it means you never looked at, so how do you expect to change him?" Rabbi Talman is a kesher. And I was trying to bring out the point of the, it has to be a part of your life. The Talman is your part of your life, and the Rebbe has to be a part of your life too. It's a, and that's how you're able to teach that. Okay, getting back to this. So I was 18 years old, yeah. And I asked Rebelsky that since I'm giving a shir on Hilchas Tefillin for 13-year-olds, for little Bachrim, young Bachrim, I don't know if I'm paskening right. Do I know if I'm paskening right? If you could please learn with me a few minutes a day, once a week, twice a week, like this, I could brush, you'll teach me what I should teach. My mind is a little bit of an excuse how to get to... He says, sure, of course, no problem. Of course, yeah. Every day after Shachris, you'll come, I'll learn with you. So I learned for 2 months with him. I learned with him. And it wasn't, I asked for a few minutes twice a week. He was a giver to Talmidim. It was a tremendous, and I understood what it was. There was no. You know, a lot of it you see in me, I don't say no. Whatever you tell me. No, whatever you tell me, no problem. No, I meant to say, yeah. I mean, he came Yitzhak to learn with me yesterday. You think I was up to it? I'm not up to it. I couldn't take it anymore. You don't say no. You just keep on doing it, you know, without cheshbonus. No. I saw also another thing in Rebbe. He was always cared for the downtrodden. It was a tremendous thing by him. There was in Camp Aguda, there was a Yid called Rav Moshe Abakamian. Remember Moshe Abakamian? It's a history. He was a guy who was supposedly in the mirror. In Shanghai. He was supposed to be a big Talmud Chacham, but he lost his mind during the war. That's some kind of breakdown. they say it had to do with the wife, that before he got married, she got shot by the Nazis. I don't know, they used to say some story about it. Bottom line is, he was homeless, and he smelled homeless, and he looked homeless, and he used to hang around camp, and the yeshiva used to hang around Lakewood in the dormitory. An old man, he smelled terrible. He never showered, it was terrible. He used to come to Camp Aguda. Reb Belsky was busy with him all the time. They used to have clothing and food. And I remember many a time, Reb Belsky used to tell me I should go take care of him, and I should take him and bring him and make sure he showers for Shabbos. I don't know, he had a tremendous life type to care for people. It was a tremendous thing. I remember I was once here talking with him, and a kid in the hallway in Terebit Asa was screaming about something. So Reb Belsky said, tell the kid to stop screaming. The guy came back in and said, I told him to stop screaming. Reb Belsky asked, what happened? He said, he fell or something. I don't know, it was something. He said, you just told him to stop screaming? Call him in, find out what's wrong with him. Tell him to come in. I'll never forget that. He made the kid come in, and he said, what's bothering you? Maybe I can help you. Another principal, okay, tell him to be quiet, making noise. I'm giving him a class. The minute he heard that it wasn't just screaming because he was being wild, maybe something was bothering him, he called the kid in. He called the kid in to see. Stories you start, the kid was fighting with one of his friends, and so they beat each other up. Okay, that's the real story there. But the way, the concern, I had a very interesting story with him, and I'm not going to say the details. Here I'll say more than I'll say tonight. They accused somebody. There was for doing something very, very bad, and the courts came down on the guy. It was a bad story, very bad story. Reb Belsky was convinced that this guy didn't do it. Reb Belsky was convinced this guy didn't do it. Now he was close to Reb Belsky, could be. I don't know the politics of the story. But it was a very messy story. It came to Lakewood, and the Rabbanim of Lakewood got involved. It was a terrible story. Reb Belsky felt that he was innocent, the guy. We were once sitting in the OU. Yeah. And I don't know how it came up with the concept of Besdin and Shvua. It somehow was. Reb Belsky said, close the door. He made us close the door. There were 3-4 people sitting there. So he says, I want to tell you something. So the people said, should we leave the room? Because he thought maybe he just wanted to tell them. He says, no, I want everyone to hear this. The greatest travesty that ever happened in Klal Yisrael, he said, was... Now, I'm not going to say this tonight because people are going to know what I'm talking about because of the words even. It's a famous thing that he said. The greatest travesty, I heard it from him directly.
What's travesty?
The biggest avla, the biggest terrible thing that happened was that tragedy that they went after this guy, whatever. To me, he started to cry. You know, he was beaming crying. He says, I don't sleep at night thinking about what happened to this person. He says, you don't know what it does to me. He says, this to me, he says, I can't take it. I never saw anyone respond to that. That's something, it's something special. To take the plight of another person that he says, I can't live like this. Can't take it. No. He was beaming, crying, couldn't stop crying. He says, I don't sleep from it. I can't eat. I can't. I learned a lesson. Yeah. And that is, people that care, very few care. He cared a lot. Isaiah told me that the hardest thing for him, and Isaiah was that type of person, the hardest thing for him was my grandfather. When he came to America, the words, not mind your own business. Mind your own business. Isaiah said, I couldn't take it. So it is my business. What if your difficulties are my business. What are you talking about? I should be your neighbor, not care that something's going on, problems by you? Isaiah said that was the hardest thing when it came to the culture and words of mind your own business. I want to tell you something interesting. Reb Belsky used to go on the radio. You know, they have this Jewish radio station. He used to get on the radio and he used to blast away against the Eruv and the stuff. So I once told him, I said, Rebbe, it's not a respectful thing for you to go on a radio. I mean, you're Gadol Batyr. Which Gadol Batyr goes on the radio? Huh? The truth is, I'll tell you something. It's possible that Chacham Avadia had the same mala. It's very possible. I'll explain to you what I mean. Also, Chacham Avadia was a little different. He was the leader of a lot of chilonim. He was the Rav Rashi. It's a little different, you know. Half of Rav Avadia's following were people who are not religious who only listened to the radio. It's a little different. Belsky didn't, it's a radio. It's not. He was a Rashiva. He had nothing to do with the radio. Rav Belsky used these words, I'll never forget. He said, I care. I care. And when you care, you don't care. Such a murder good. I was telling him, I forget. I told him, how do you go on the radio? I said, it's a bizarre for you, Rebbe. What are you doing? He says, I care. I forget. I care. And when you care, you just don't care. It's a beautiful. Okay. I remember clearly, okay, that it was a very serious marriage shiloh that was negated to somebody. And I didn't want to pass him because it was way over my head. I'm not telling you all the details. I ever told you the details of the story? No, I haven't told you.
Is this a shower story?
The shower story, yeah. You, I told the story, right? Okay. I called Rebbe Simbelsky, and she said to me, she was in the shower. Should he call? I said, nah. But if he has a second, he should call me, because it was right before Shabbos. If he has a second, he should call me, because it's really a very serious shiloh. She said, oh, if it's a serious shiloh, I'm underplaying, because I don't want you to know what the shiloh was about. He said, was this and this type of shiloh? No problem, I'll call him out of the shower. I go, what are you talking about? What are you calling my shower? How could you call him out? He said, no, he'd want me to call you out of that. He came running to the phone. Asher yotzer sa'adam b'chachmo varva yinikav mekav chalom chalom gali yadul. He came running out of the shower. I never saw anything like that. That's something I never saw in my life. That a Rav should care that much that if someone has a serious thing, he jumps out of the shower, to me is unbelievable. He cared. That was the bottom line. I remember once I was sitting with him, yeah, and he was starved. He was so hungry. I remember he was telling me, I just got to eat something. I'm starved. I'm so hungry, you know. One guy came, Meshulach, the next Meshulach, and I said, Rebbe, you have to go eat. He says, yeah, but I also have to take care of this. I have to listen to. He forgot that he had to go eat. And I realized this point, that he cared so much that it overrid his needs, his own personal needs. The point that I'm trying to say is, we might not be able to tap into the genius. I think it's like way, you know. But the Bein Olam L'Chaveri, to care. To care about people. Take things serious, other people's situations, I think is a tremendous thing that we can learn. A tremendous thing. And Rebbe Talmud, for surely has to be that way. Now, I'm not telling you that on your end, you guys can do whatever you want, right? But I have to keep the Rebbe end of it. But even Beit Alma Chaveri, in general, to care, and to... This is more or less the stories I have about Rebelsky. Okay, good?
Yeah,
stop here. I'll stop it. 1:30. You think it'll resonate with the people or not? Yeah.